All right, Brother Bruce.
Let's open up to the third chapter of John, the Gospel of John. And we will read down, begin with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8. Yes. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. There's really a lot said in this this passage of Scriptures, but again, in verse 3, he is saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you can't see something, you probably have no desire for it. It's like Gilbert Tennant said, there's no desire after an unknown thing. That'd be kind of profound in a sense, but it's very true. And then in verse 5, and he's saying the same thing again, only he doesn't use the phrase born again. But if you're not born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you can't see it and you can't enter into it if you've not been born again. And then in verse 7, he says, ye must be born again. Now that phrase, born again, is found three times in the Scriptures. Twice here. And then Peter mentions it in the first chapter of Peter. And in there he's saying, born again by the Word. Being born again by the Word. So you are born and then you keep being born again, so to speak. You grow. That's sanctification. Yeah. And it's the Word that does that. Now, I've mentioned this before, maybe just in conversation. I don't think I've done it from in a sermon necessarily, but that is such an important doctrine. Being born again. It's foundational. And Jesus said in verse 7, you must be born again. And this is kind of pertinent today because we got another Jimmy Carter in the office. Only he's, I think, worse. But and I will admit, I voted for Jimmy Carter because two things. He was Baptist. I was new Baptist. And he was a Submariner. And that was always close to my heart. My dad said, well, I hope you liked it. At that time, it wasn't Democrat or Republican. You know, I didn't worry about that at any rate. But it was in about 75, 76 when he was campaigning for president. It seems to me he's the one that popularized the phrase born-again Christian. And I didn't think a whole lot of it at the time. But later on, I came to realize that's really being redundant. If you're born again, you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you've been born again. You don't need to say born again Christian. But it became real popular. You don't really hear it so much anymore. But, you know, eventually, God opened my eyes and I realized the significance of the word, the phrase, born again. It's spiritual. But we were all born once, physically. And guess what? We had nothing to do with it. We were simply the object of that birth process. Two people came together, and then at the right time, out comes a human being. That little baby had nothing to do with it. And it's just like our spiritual birth.
That's right.
We really had nothing to do with it. But yet, a lot of people think they do. And there's two important truths that a lot of people overlook. Even the learned people overlook this. And you have to go all the way back to the garden. You have to go back to the beginning. One of those truths is kind produces kind.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that, you know, I go to the store and get beef from a cow and I don't have to worry about it being pork. Or you know what I'm saying. Right. It might probably taste like chicken, but... kind produces kind. That's a very important truth, and it was established right at the beginning. Another important truth is that man in the garden, prior to his fall, was depraved. He was depraved. He didn't sin yet, but he was depraved. And all that means is that he was not holy. He was depraved. Now that's... And I've wondered about this. I was thinking about it again this morning. And he was created that way. It was not sinful. He was upright. But he was depraved. After the fall, everybody born after that was born with a sin nature. Adam and Eve were not born. They were created. They didn't have a sin nature. Jesus was born of a woman, but not of the seed of a man, not the seed of Adam. And then, of course, John the Baptist and Jeremiah were born again before they were physically born. But outside of that, everybody else is born with... not only are they depraved, but they have a sin nature. Because kind produces kind. Now, in John 4:24, we don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that spirit that's used there is a lowercase s. So he's not talking about the Godhead. But it's still true. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were body and soul. They did not have a spirit at that time. But yet, the Lord is telling us that God is a spirit, and to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Romans 8:9 reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit," uppercase S.
Right.
If so be that the Spirit of God, and that's an uppercase S, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So guess what? So in the garden, prior to the fall, Adam and Eve did not have that Spirit of Christ yet, or the Spirit of God yet. So he was depraved. And that's a, you know, that is a truth that a lot of people have a problem with.
Really do.
But it's so simple.
Seems to be me.
We're more or less proving it right now from Scripture that they were without Christ. They were without the Spirit of God.
Right.
You cannot please God without His Spirit. You have to have His Spirit.
That's true.
And that's why Jesus said, unless a man be born again. Another rendering of that is born from above. And I do like that. And really, that's what he says in verse 5. Except, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, I remember, well, there are books written on how to be born again. The most famous one is probably Billy Graham, How to Be Born Again. They're going to tell you how to do it. And so I looked on the internet the other day, and this is all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's what's dangerous about the internet. You know, a while back, I was talking with this lady who, and she was looking up Calvinism, telling me she's done a lot of reading about Calvinism, and I just wondered, you know, what did you read? I mean, you could read Dave Hunt, and he just totally against election, predestination, that sort of thing. Came out of a website called Missing Link. And here's the question he had. And the man who wrote this is passed away, and his daughter's taken up this website. But the question is, how can a person be born again? Well, he's divided it up. He's got God's part and your part. And I'll just read a little bit. And you always have to keep this in mind, that a lie is always against the truth. That sounds simple. I know that. The truth was first. And anything not the truth is a lie. So there are a lot of churches out there, there's a lot of people out there who have some truth, but the way it's presented, it's mixed up with error. You know, if you have 100 words and they're all true but one, the whole thing is false. That's all it takes. So he begins off God's part. Jesus died in your place and for your sins, so you can be forgiven and receive that new life. And then God forgives sins. And then God gives spiritual life. See, there's some truth in this. There is some truth in this. Here's your part. Choose to be born again. Choose the way of Jesus instead of the way of Satan. Just choose it. Choose to call on the Lord for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him. Repent. And then in parentheses, be sorry for your sins. Confess Christ openly. Be baptized. You do those things and you will be born again. Now this came from WikiHow. And you got what?
But how do you do those things?
Oh, he doesn't explain that. He just tells you to you do them. Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm reading these to show you how foolish people are, how absolutely missing the boat they are. He gives a lot of scriptural references. I didn't look them all up. I really didn't need to do that. My whole point is to show, Jesus said you must be born again. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven if you aren't. You can't see it if you're not born again. And he never tells you how to do that. And we're going to read a few more scriptures to show how it is done and who's behind it. This is WikiHow. Being born again means giving up your old life to live a new life through Christ Jesus. Becoming a born-again Christian might sound difficult, but God has made it easy for His faithful to come to Him. By accepting Christ, you can come before God and be born again. If you want to be born again, start by becoming a Christian. Then live your life for Jesus as best you can. Finally, you can grow your faith by attending church, reading the Bible, and praying. People believe this stuff. People believe, and there's others out there that are just as bad as these. I just picked those two to show you that it's such an important doctrine. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again. John 3:27. Now, this is John the Baptist. His disciples had been around Jesus, and now they're coming to John the Baptist and telling him, because, you know, John was Jesus' cousin, his older cousin. And John had been baptizing people, and his ministry preceded that of our Lord. So John answers his disciples, and he says, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Well, there's part of our answer on being born again. It comes from heaven. It's from heaven, not anything you did. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And when you think about it, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Everything came from heaven. Everything. John 1:12. "But as many as received him," talking about Christ, of course, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, what happened, again, is "to them gave he power." That's how they were able to believe and accept him. He gave it. It didn't come from within. It's not what Satan said. And what a lot of people believe is there's a spark of divinity in you and you can do it. No. If you're not given the power to become the sons of God, you will not become the sons of God. You can't do it. John 6:29, and there's so many other verses, we're not going to hit them all. John 6:29. "Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." That's the work of God. specifically God the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's His work. You're born again, just like when you were a little child. I remember some of them when they were kind of newborns. Well, especially that one. And now they're not. They're growing. That's the work of God. And even when you think about it, your physical growth, that's the work of God also. We eat, we drink, and that sort of thing, but for some people, they have physical issues, and some of them don't. And that's of God. All things are. All things except sin is of God. And we could have a little discussion on that, but I'll leave it to our pastor to talk about that. John 6:44 is another good verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How clear is that? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, and he doesn't lasso you with a lasso to do that. It's a spiritual thing. And it's of the Father. Again, we don't have any part in that at all. Exactly. It's the Holy Spirit. Prior to that, we're not going to do it. No, nobody will. I mean, all we have to do, and we do this a lot, we go back to the garden. And we look there and we see, and it's real simple there. You know, after the sixth chapter of Genesis, that is just a fuller explanation of what was going on there in that garden. It's a fuller revelation, and it's complete. But Adam and Eve were upright. No sin. And they sinned. They who had no sin. Now everybody, like I said earlier, everybody else was born with that sin nature. And they prove it coming right out of the womb. I mean, I'm convinced, maybe not everybody holds to this. I mean, we see a baby, a newborn. And if they don't get what they want, and what they want is fed or changed or something, they will pitch a fit. They're pretty self-centered. That's sinful. Is it because they don't know it? No, they're acting their nature. Some of them don't grow out of it. I mean, look at some of these athletes and some of these movie stars. They just never grow out of that stuff. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here's the part that I really wanted to bring out. For without me, ye can do nothing. Well, guess what? Adam and Eve did not have him. They couldn't please God. And they didn't. They had the opportunity. Why didn't they? And again, it goes back to depravity. They were depraved. That doesn't mean you're as evil as you can be. We are seeing some of that. It just means you don't have the ability. You're not holy. Now, I don't understand how a third of the angelic beings left their first estate. I don't understand that. I don't know. Maybe our pastor will tell us later today. Now, and Ephesians 2:1. This verse has always struck me, if for these Arminian type people. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, is that clear? Is how I really don't understand how people, when they hear that verse or read that verse, how they think that before you are born again that you can do it yourself. But yet they do. Now, everything that I've been talking about so far happened in time. In time. But guess what? There's an eternity. There's one coming up again. But there is an eternity. And there's things that happen in eternity that affect what's going to happen in time. It's simple. Very much so. Absolutely. Now, about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I ordered a book by a man named William Perkins. And William Perkins is considered the father of the Puritans. Well, I've got that book. It's called The Golden Chain, I think. I read about the first 20 pages and I realized I'm going to have to take a lot of time. I'm going to have to go back. I mean, the style of writing and everything. It was good, but I'm going to have to go back. I need time to spend. I mean, these guys, you know, they're learned men. I'm not. Plus, it was written back in the 1500s. But in this book was a chart. It was a folded up chart. And the chart was called The Order and Cause of Salvation and Damnation. I have another one that was done by John Bunyan. I have it framed on my wall. But this other one, it's a lot different, but it's the same kind of a thing, and it's graphic. But I really think it's very, very good. I mean, I've got it framed now. I got it, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I'll sit there and look at it and study it. But it's so very interesting, and again, like I say, what I've talked about so far is in time. But there's things that happened in eternity that are affecting it. And in this chart, if you just tried, I was going to bring it, you know, but I felt kind of silly. We used to do that in grade school. You know, we had show and tell kind of stuff. So imagine this chart. So you have God the Father at the very top. And then over here you have Jesus Christ, and over here you have the Holy Spirit. In the middle, you have God. And there's lines going from God the Father to God, God the Father to Jesus. You know, they communicate. There's communication between those three. And of course, it's the Godhead. And that's what, in the middle, more God, it's the Godhead is the three persons of that are God. And coming straight down, and he's got, you know, I mean, y'all aren't going to be able to see this, but he's got lines coming down, and you come over here, on this side everything's red, it's salvation, over here it's damnation. And it's just all kinds of truths, doctrines. And the first one here is it's God's foreknowledge. Well, guess what? I mean, I know a lot of people right now, they think of foreknowledge as being God looking down through time and seeing who's going to choose Him and He saves them. No, that's not what... All knowledge to God is foreknowledge. There was never anything... I mean, you can't understand it. He never... added anything to it. It's all knowledge. But when foreknowledge is, he knows all things. Before creation, he knew these things. And under that, he has God's decree. Well, you know, Psalm 2, 7 talks about the decree of God. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. There is a decree. And we have, you know, we say there's all kinds of decrees, that God's decreed this and that. And it's true. It's absolutely true. Whatever God has decreed is going to come to pass.
Right.
And then again, we're talking about eternity. Nothing has happened yet, so to speak, in time. Predestination. Now, you know, it really is a very, very simple word and very simple concept, and people have a real problem with it. But destination simply means where you're going to end up. Where you're going to end up. I mean, I got a destination every morning, it's where I work. And then I have a destination in the evening, it's when I get home. I've reached my destination. Well, pre is just a suffix. It just means before you get to that destination. That's all. Well, guess what? We all have a destination. And there's things that happen before we started on that destination. It's predestination. God determined it. God did. It's not a difficult concept. Now, coming out of that predestination, there's the decree of election, and there's the decree of reprobation. It comes out of predestination. It follows predestination. Now, you know, we think linearly. I don't think we have a choice. God doesn't. You know, I don't know how that, maybe we'll know, but you think about God didn't have to sit down and chart this stuff out and prove it and all this sort of thing. We do. And again, this chart that I'm talking about, it's wonderful. It really, really is. It's very, very interesting. So, the decree of election, the decree of reprobation. Now what happens is creation. Now creation happens. And then, after that, and we know this, the third chapter of Genesis, the fall. It didn't surprise God. It was part of his purpose and plan to do this. And then, after the fall, is a state of unbelief. The state of unbelief. Everybody is in that state of unbelief when they're born. You didn't have a choice in the matter. It's like there's so many other things about, you know, our gender. Of course, these days they think they can change that. What nonsense. What foolishness. What sinfulness that is. So you think about it. Everybody is born into hell. If you die in unbelief, your destination is hell. There's only two places, heaven and hell. That that is why Jesus said, ye must be born again. You have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God, in order to enter the kingdom of God. And that is not done by your own power. That's done by the power of God. And I know sometimes forget that. We get discouraged and this and that. But, you know, our end is glorious. And it's something that it happens in time, but it was determined prior to time. So, you know, we have a Savior. And He saves. And no one can undo God's decrees. No one can undo what Christ did for His people. And what could be better news?
In truth, that's a very, very deep subject. Talking about being born again. It's so deep. And the reality of it is that nobody can do anything spiritually until they're born again or unless they're born again. I mean, we preach and preach and preach, but why isn't it that, you know, so few react to it? Well, it's simply because they're not born again. They're helpless, really. And being helpless, they're hopeless. To be born again is a and Bruce, how many times is it mentioned in the scripture? How many times do you read in the scripture about being born again?
Well, that phrase three times.
So,
but we read a number of verses that are a result of, or showing,
right,
that it's all of God.
Right.
Is God doing that work in you so that you can worship Him acceptably?
But isn't it strange that Jesus only mentions it
twice,
and then one other place we've got Peter start talking about it. And yet you've got people writing all these books about how to be born again.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It just boggles your mind. But that's why I despise all of these how-to books. I just despise them. I'm sorry, but I just despise them. Why? Because they can't do any of it except the Spirit of God work it in them and in us. We can't. Well, Jesus said it Himself. You can do nothing. Now that's the opposite of all things are of God, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. The more I think about it, you know, the more I marvel at it.
Sure.
It's just so wonderful.
It is. I have to say that.
Oh.
You know, it overrides the fears I have. I think about, like we were talking this morning, there's things that I think about and concerned about, but yet I know.
Yeah.
God is bringing forth His purpose, His plan. I'm a part of it. The Apostle Paul and Peter and others, they were all martyrs.
Yeah.
I remember Paul said something, God delivered me through them all. And He did.
Yeah, delivered me out of them all, yeah.
But he eventually was a martyr. And
yep.
Now God gave him the grace.
Well, he delivered him out of that. He delivered him out of that martyrdom, but not in the way that most people think. Went up yesterday to our annual Region 6 drivers, bus drivers meeting. And they're talking about, all of this stuff the main emphasis was on suicide, especially young people, suicide. The statement was made, first of all, that suicide is the number one death, the most deaths in the United States is from suicide. Didn't know that. So it's pretty striking, isn't it? When you consider. We're talking about that, and then the other emphasis was on the terrorism and how you cope with the terrorism or the threat of terrorism and all of this, in other words, it really centered on all the turmoil and the chaos and the uncertainty and the stress of today. And I sat there thinking, I kind of wish I had an opportunity to to get up and say what I thought about all of that that's going on. It's interesting. In a sense, it's necessary to know, how to deal with some of these things like that. But I just sat there thinking. But the reason that we're not all stressed out all the time and need all these uppers and downers, as they call them, and all of this all that drug kind of stuff, is because all things work together for good to get to them that love the Lord, that love God, and are called according to His purpose. So when you're born again, you're born for a purpose. And it's the purpose of God, and it was set back in eternity past. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
I mean, the very fact that we can call it eternity past. anyway, all right, that's good. I enjoyed it. We missed JT, but we've had two good messages last Lord's Day and this Lord's Day. We've had two good messages, so thank God for it.